So, T, we're actually doing this.
We're actually doing it. We're keeping it real. I'm excited.
Three black TV producers on a late night Zoom and two cheap bottles of wine later, this podcast was born.
We are ready to chat all things from politics, entertainment, social issues and TV.
Plus everything in between, including our black perspective on life.
I'm Tiana, aka T.
I'm Sienna.
And I'm Gamma, so get ready for some unfiltered lulls, some talk and tears.
As we share our personal experiences.
This is
the In Our Black Opinion podcast.
I mean, it's gone from a drunken chat on Zoom to you guys constantly messaging me to buy this bloody mic from Amazon. Obviously, you can purchase this mic elsewhere. To actually now sitting here on a sunny Sunday afternoon chatting to each other. We've literally moved from voice notes to, yeah, let the rest of the world hear our rants.
I'm just excited that I don't have to keep repeating myself. So from now on, I'm going to be like, if you refer to episode 3 of my podcast, I cover the point quite well there.
We should hand it out when we first start new jobs. Before you ask me what I think about the N-word, please see podcast episode 5.
There's no turning back now. So the idea for this podcast came about a month or so after the murder of George Floyd. Sienna T and myself found ourselves either WhatsApping each other, you know, silly o'clock time, or phoning each other, or being on Zooms with each other, just still in kind of shock that this could happen to someone. And so one night we had a Zoom, which we titled, We Are Tired, because we are. And we were like, you know what, we're doing these Zooms, crying to each other, talking about just how shit the world is right now, but also about Black joy. So we thought, it's maybe we should share this with the world. Maybe we should share this with other people who may be feeling the same, or people who are willing to listen. So that is how the In Our Black Opinion podcast was born. And, you know, with that in mind of how this podcast was born, we decided it's only fitting that our very first episode is discussing the Black Lives Matter movement 2020, the murder of George Floyd, and our own personal experiences of microaggression and racism.
This episode comes with a trigger warning, as we will openly be discussing racism and issues some may find triggering and sensitive.
I know the past couple of weeks have been triggering and traumatic, but I just want to know how you've both felt about, I mean, whether you watched it or not, but how you felt after seeing the George Floyd video.
Big question. I haven't watched all of it. I can't. You know, I think we've got to that, well, I've got to that stage when I've seen that video in a different version so many times. I watched the beginning of it and it was actually too painful for me to finish. But I think where my feelings come from is the reaction that I've never seen before. White people sharing it, commenting, saying this isn't right, saying, oh my gosh, maybe there is systemic racism. For me, that's kind of what's brought on any feelings towards it. And yeah, it's been difficult to deal with.
No, I feel the same. Like, you know, I think we've seen the video, not the video of George Floyd, but we've seen videos like that so much that you just get a bit numb to it. And you know, there was that meme going around, like some kind of meme account had posted it that was saying that, like, as a Black person, there's two ways that you deal with stuff like that, that kind of trauma. It's you either, you know, acknowledge it then and there and kind of go through all this emotional trauma and it's exhausting, or you just scroll past it and you're numb until you feel bad about that, and then you're back to the trauma all over again. That's what it felt like. And it's even now, I can't watch that whole video And when I see more videos coming up on people's Instagrams of other people, I just can't even, I can't even watch it. It just, it may, like before I felt like, you know, it was upsetting, but now I just feel like it's, it makes me angry, and I've never felt angry about it before, you know, like maybe when you were a kid and you first experienced racism, you know, you're kind of a bit hurt and angry about it. But I feel like when you grow up with it so much, the anger just stops a little bit and you just start getting a bit numb by the whole thing. Now, I feel like I'm becoming resensitized to everything I was desensitized to, you know, just like angry all over again, like I'd never experienced it before. And yeah, it's hard. It's really hard.
I don't know whether it is because we were in lockdown, but the George Floyd video just hit me so differently. And just like you saying that, I think I was just angry. I think I was just angry because in that time as well, it was the information about how, you know, Black people and other ethnic minorities are more affected by COVID, and mainly because of the line of work that they do. But, you know, like loads of health, the majority of healthcare workers that were dying were of BME background. And it was just like seeing that video. And the first time I watched it, I didn't watch it all. I was just like, is this actually happening? And then the second time I sat there and watched the full video, I was just numb. I mean, I was just numb, and I sat in my room and I was just like, I wanted to speak to someone, like I wanted to talk to my friends, but I'm just like, if I'm feeling like this, I know that my Black friends are feeling exactly the same way. And like even my little brother, like I saw him like on his phone watching people's reactions to the videos, and like I've seen him silent and stuff, but I've never seen him like that. I've never seen him like so numb, and that's upsetting to watch. I think for me, George Floyd's murder was a tipping point, and it still is. Like, I don't know if you've both listened to it, but read the transcript of the recording of the police body cam of the whole interaction and the amount of times he said he can't breathe. And for someone to just keep their knee on someone's neck and basically disregard their right to live, for me, is just... it makes me want to give up. It makes me want to give up this fight, because I'm just like, what am I fighting for? Because I don't think sentiments and anything will change. And it's really annoying when then I then get like non-Black friends saying, no, you've got to keep fighting, you've got to keep going. And it's like, I don't think you understand. Like, for you, George Floyd may be your catalyst, but for me, he's my tipping point. I'm 30. So it's 30 years of this. It's 30 years of being told, go back to your country. You don't belong here. You know, people taking the piss out of your race, just shouting from the top of your voice that you just want to be respected. But then it feels like you're fucking drowning each time. And it's, I don't think George Floyd would ever go away. I don't think that image or that video will ever leave me.
It's suffocating.
And I kind of don't want it to leave me.
This is how fucked the trauma is though, right? That we don't want to forget. So we don't even allow ourselves time to breathe. We just constantly remind ourselves because we're scared that we're going to go back to just accepting all this shit. And like, there's been days Tiana messaged me like, today I'm having the day off of just like looking at the news and stuff. And like, I had to start doing that as well. And my dad was like, do it. And like, you have to take days for your mental health, but long term, none of us can try and forget that, because we know that we have a responsibility in our community to like bear this all the time. And it's really hard. And that's what's so hard about seeing white people forget about it so easily. Because I think even if we tried, we couldn't.
I think it's exactly that. Because
I had this guy that I went to drama school with, a black guy, kind of comment on his Facebook page and just say, "I'm scared to be black." And the response was a lot of people were kind of questioning him, saying, "Are you okay? Or get a grip of yourself." And I just had to back him up and I just commented and said, "What? So am I. I'm scared." And the response that I got was one of my old drama school teachers, who obviously has us both as contacts, messaged me to see if I was okay. And I had to say, no, I'm not okay, because I'm really worried now that people will actually realise that it's easier if black lives don't matter, because they're getting tired of all the posts, they're getting tired of hearing about racism. And what if they get to the stage, kind of like the next level, where they realise that the reason why our lives haven't mattered is because it's easier for them to not. And then what do? Do we start the fight again? And I think that's why we can't switch off from it, because we have to keep up the momentum, because there is that danger that, you know, people will start listening to the Trumps of this world and the Nigel Farages and go, actually, our lives can be a lot more comfortable if we just ignore this now.
And people don't like negativity, do they? That's what it is. It's like it's upsetting to their lives that they have to deal with this shit on social media and TV. They don't want to see it. And yeah, you're right. It would be easier for them if we all just shut up about it.
How did you guys feel about... So obviously you had the police officer who was standing on his neck or kneeling. Well, what about the others who were just stood there? Because for me, those are the ones that actually made me most angry.
I feel like they are just as guilty, and it really angers me that someone created, I think it's a GoFundMe, or I don't know how, but some of them was basically enough money was donated for them to post bail, and that just says it all. When we are posting about Black Lives Matters and people think, oh, like, I know there are people on my social media who's like, oh, she's posting again, and you can see that people have skipped what you've posted. I'm not posting for the sake of posting. I'm posting because every single day we wake up holding our breath, expecting another black person to have died, another black person to have been paralysed by the police, another black person to have been murdered, and the police not basically caring enough to actually investigate it properly. They'll get to it when they'll get to it. So the other police officers, to me, are just as guilty, because they watch someone die. They watched someone being murdered and they did nothing. For me, it's the same way as, you know, historically people who used to go to lynchings. If you're standing there watching a black person being lynched, you're just as guilty. So over the past couple of weeks, I've been quite busy on social media and I've not been afraid to comment on posts. Obviously, I have been attacked. People have slipped into my DMs and someone basically told me to fuck off, go back to where I come from. Someone was telling me about the First Amendment. I was like, I live in the UK, babes. And someone whose Instagram name included the words white supremacy basically told me that I'm making all of this up. So I was like, cool. And one of the pictures I did comment on, my friend sent to me, and it was Heidi Klum's post. She posted a picture of her holding her son's hands, and for reference, her it's her son Lucille, so her son's black, and she hashtag all lives matter. And I was just going through the comments, and before I even put my two pence in, the comment section was already salty, was already saucy, and there were loads of people saying, well, all lives do matter, all lives do matter, whereas the predominantly black voices were saying, we can understand where you were trying to go with this hashtag all lives matters, because she says her son told her to use that hashtag, but with someone with such a massive platform, you are normalizing the statement that all lives matter. And what we're trying to tell you is, in saying Black Lives Matter, we're not saying that that white person's life doesn't matter, or, you know, that our person's life doesn't matter. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to put my comment in and then just walk away. And then disappeared from my phone, and within 10 minutes I had 17 notifications, and it was just people coming at me saying, why are you being so aggressive? Heidi Klum can post whatever she wants. And it was just this one lady specifically just kept saying, you know, love wins and all lives matter. Why are we segregating each other? And it was so ironic that she was using those words, because I just had to explain to her, but that's what we're fighting. People may think it's an innocent statement, but it really isn't. And Heidi Klum should know better.
I think by Heidi Klum doing that, though, that's, this is what irritates me about celebs writing stuff like that. It's like when Piers Morgan, when Heidi Klum, when somebody famous says all lives matter, it validates all these uneducated people that, oh, well, if they think it, must be true. It's like, how can someone in, you know, that bracket, a newsreader, blah, 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 a politician think it, and I'm not allowed to think it, kind of thing.
That is my thing with Nigel Farage. Just because they see Nigel Farage on TV or have a respectable job as a radio presenter on LBC, although yes, I know he has been amicably let go, or actually represent the UK as an MEP, that what he's spewing must be facts. And that is so dangerous. And I expect so much more from a platform like Good Morning Britain. Racism isn't an opinion. It can't be debated. It's not whether it's fact or fictional. Racism is racism. And the likes of Nigel Farage, who's allowed to liken the Black Lives Matter movement to a communist militant group who are trying to take over and defund everything. So Black Lives Movement are coming in to invade your schools, invade your public areas, invade your community. It's just, it shocks me. So because he's given these platforms to talk openly, people will listen to him and think, well, he can't be racist. There's no way ITV will have a racist on their channel. There's no way LBC would, you know, have a racist radio presenter. So then he's painted as this, you know, comedy villain, because there were times when Nigel Farage was on TV panel shows and it's like, oh, you know, it's Nigel Farage, he's just silly, you know, he's from you know, a different group where, you know, they're very opinionated. Okay, but so the KKK is opinionated, but does it mean that we need to give them a platform?
The people who scare me are actually the Black people who use their platforms to say things like all lives matter and publicly, like, contradict the Black Lives Matter movement. Like that awful woman, Candace Owens, I don't even want to say her name, gross, who decided to use her platform not to kind of speak for the Black community, but to speak against them, saying that George Floyd basically shouldn't be celebrated because he was essentially a criminal.
Like, look at this Black person saying completely the opposite of what you're saying. Must be true. But what's worse is they always use little phrases like, this guy's got his head screwed on. This woman, she knows, smart lady.
Educated, what? Because she, always.
Because she validates what you think. But the worst part is Candace Owens and the Hodge twins, Trump supporters. But yeah, it's hard because Black people that go against the cause are more damaging than white people that never believed in it in the first place. True. It's just, so how have you all cut off friends or kind of questioned friendships in this time?
Like, I'm someone who's always been quite open about my opinions on racism. I've, you know, got into arguments with in the pub with my friends about it, my white friends. And, you know, I've written a whole play about racism. So, you know, it's not something that I shy away from talking about. I've had those awkward conversations my whole adult life. But all of a sudden, people are now hearing what I've been saying. And, you know, it's the reaction to them finally hearing, which is actually the most unsettling and worrying. There's either radio silence or sudden kind of, I am so sorry, I didn't see before, and it's fake. And I know that sounds harsh, but it's like, guys, I didn't just become Black overnight. You know, this is, I have been your black friend for the 15, 20 years we've known each other for. So now all of a sudden this thing has come to the surface and you can finally hear. And I'm watching your reaction and I'm sorry, but actions do speak louder than words. So you can come to me and say, T, I don't know what to do. This is all new to me. Tell me what to do. But at the end of the day, I don't know. I didn't prepare for this moment for people to suddenly be enlightened. You know, I haven't sat here for years kind of preparing what happened when this moment happened. But there's no right answer. The important thing is you have to do something to show you care. Because if you don't, then how do we know?
I mean, I've questioned. I mean, there's some people where I'm like, I would consider you a friend, but I wouldn't consider you a friend. And post this, you're an acquaintance now, because I'm just shocked at just how many people have kept quiet. And I think it's absolute bullshit. I cannot deny the power of social media.
Yeah.
You may think that you're posting, you're signing one petition, but you post something, then someone else will repost it. And then it's a wildfire. It takes one person to spark it off and then it's contagious. So you not posting as my friend actually just goes to show that you don't care. If you don't care about this movement, then you don't care about me. I am your black friend. I'm not saying that I'm your only black friend, but I am black. Blackty, blackty, black.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's not supposed to be comfortable posting about it. Like, of course it's uncomfortable, which is why it means so much when you see white people posting so much about it, because you think, you know, it's not an easy thing to post about. Most of your followers are going to get pissed off with you. So if you're still posting about it, it's great. Like, and you know, I had an argument with one of my friends because they said, what's the point in me sharing this stuff? I've seen it everywhere. Everyone else has probably seen it everywhere. And I'm like, so what if people didn't know that their taxes were repaying slave owner reparations until 2015? And seeing that on your story actually educates them. And also, I think it is a solidarity thing. Like, it was nice seeing everybody post about it. For the first time ever, I felt like, you know, people didn't get it, but they had the heavy weight on their shoulders like we've had for ages, you know, for our whole lives. It was just...
Someone showed up as an ally. It meant something, didn't it? You're like, oh, thanks. I can actually feel you standing there. Whereas the people who are even close friends who didn't say anything and still haven't said anything, you're thinking, well, do you care? Are you one of the All Lives Matter crew? Because you don't seem to be able to say anything. You don't seem to be able to even check that I'm okay.
Yeah, and you're right. The silence is so loud. It was louder than like people even posting. Like I knew on my feed in the day who hadn't posted anything. And I even went back and checked by like 7 p.m. to be like, right, they've had time to do it now. I even DM'd a few people going, you gonna post today? Or you should probably take this down. No one cares about your apparel today. Like, do you know what I mean? It's just like, how privileged are you that you can just ignore everything that is on your feed? Like, read the room. Does anybody want to see your margarita at 3 p.m. when we're talking about like abuse on black bodies 24/7? Like,
yeah, we're not enjoying all these posts. Like, it's triggering. But the thing, I think if you're not getting triggered by it, it means that there's a disconnect there. You're not getting it, so you even need to educate yourself and try to understand. But what you cannot do is push it away and go, I'm not interested, because that's not making progress at all. And I think a lot of people are doing that.
And I always say this, when things happen, there's that disconnect, because people will just go, oh, well, it only happens in America. It doesn't happen here. It only happens in America. And that always gets me, because I heard this guy on the talk that I was on say something so, like, literally light bulb went off in my head. And he was like, the only difference between America and here is that American police have guns. That is literally the only difference, but the treatment is still the same. And it's so much scarier here, because in America, like, the racism is on the surface, it's there. Like, they, like, you know, these racists have the kahunas to spit on people, beat people up, shoot people, kill people. Whereas here, it's so, like, ingrained and woven into the fabric of British society. you just, it happens, and then you start questioning yourself and you're like, wait, hang on, did that just happen? And then no one says anything, and then you're like, that's even scarier, because what you're saying, in America it's like, you know, someone will get shot or someone will be mistreated, and then, you know, people will rally together and protest. Here it will happen, and then it'll be like, shh, no, we're not racist, or as Boris Johnson would like to say, we're a little bit racist. But, you know, you can't quantify racism is racism. It literally is that simple. You can't quantify homophobia. Being homophobic is being homophobic. You can't quantify, you know, sexual assault is sexual assault. Like, yeah. It's just, but when it comes to racism, it's like, well, you know, we're a little bit racist, as if to say that's okay, as if to say that's allowed. And that's what really, really scares me. I feel like here, especially with the likes of, you know, Tommy Robinson and stuff, who also always seems to get a platform, or Katie Hopkins, like, Twitter was only just recently deleted, but they're allowed to spew their racial hatred as if it's fact.
Yeah.
And then people follow them and listen to them. It's like, oh yeah, like, oh yeah, yeah. Even like, the whole Brexit campaign was run on the back of like xenophobic ideologies. And you're just like, and you sit there and you're like, wow.
It's like, why is it that what we say is always questioned? Like, just trust what you're saying. I think collectively decided to make it up.
But racism, we always have to kind of, you know, discuss it really openly so that they can understand, and you have to be articulate, and you have to use the right tone, and, you know, you have to really kind of manner yourself when you're talking about it. But no other kind of form of trauma is treated like that, and I don't understand why.
People are like, but he was aggressive, or he was a criminal, like they say about George Floyd. That still doesn't give someone the right to kill someone. It's like, they should not have to be super, super innocent for you to feel bad. They should, you know, even if they have mental health problems and they're screaming on the street or whatever, it doesn't validate any of that. So it's almost like, when, you know, if somebody is raped, it's like someone going, but was she wearing a short skirt? And everyone now knows it's not the right thing. You're not asking for it regardless. Like with racism, you're not asking for it. Even if I'm screaming down the street, if I'm being rude, if I'm being aggressive, I'm not asking to be shot. Like, that is not their job.
I think the world's just basically saying that, like, black people should just stay in their lane. And that staying alone ideology stems from the slave trade. Like, how dare you talk back? How dare you talk back to your master? How dare you step out of your lane? How dare you not be a slave? How dare you try to make your own money? How dare you try to live in my area? How dare you try to love my child? How dare you try to marry my child? How dare you try, you know, try and make biracial babies of my child? Like, it's literally the world saying, stay in your lane. That's why my open letter was, dear non-black friends, because everyone just assumes, oh no, it's only just, you know, the white countries. But it's like, we literally have to Google how fucking racist the country is before we decide where we go on holiday. Like, I think people think we're just making this up, and it's what's been so comforting is just reading just how many other black people have had the same experiences as you. And I know that sounds weird saying it's comforting, but it's like, it's kind of weirdly helped just like mentally with me, because it's like, it's not all in my head. Like, you start feeling like, no, that person didn't mean it like that. And then you start kind of forgiving these microaggressions and stuff. But they're like Googling the holiday thing. For some reason, I thought, maybe it's just me and my friends. And realizing like, it's literally the diaspora all feel the same way. Like, we have to Google countries to see what their race relation is like.
This was just recently. My boyfriend's friend got married last year, and we saw them and we were catching up about their honeymoon and all this kind of stuff. And for reference, boyfriend's friends are white. And they were talking about this amazing trip they had, you know, in America, where they were like got a car and they went to Texas, and they were like, oh, we were dancing on this bar at Billy Bob's and in Texas, and we didn't have any ID, and we had an argument with the bouncer to get in, but we got in. It was the best thing ever. And they were like, you have to go next year, you have to do this road trip and go to Billy Bob's in Texas and blah blah blah. Kind of ignorance is that this is privilege in the sense that that would never cross their mind, that I would never be able to do that. Yeah, as if me going to Billy Bob's without ID in the deep south of America, it's not going to happen.
I believe, isn't that the same venue that a couple years back was accused of setting racist music rules? So I think it mainly doesn't play music of Black origin. But
now I wish you had gone. Just what happened to everyone? You know, when everything just goes silent when you walk into a place that you clearly shouldn't be.
Like, I know what's going to happen. If I can't go to anywhere called Billy Bob's. No, never in my life. The ignorance.
Well, that kind of happened to me. So when I started going backpacking, Black people didn't go backpacking like that. Like, I was really up before the time. So I had no idea that I was going to have any problems. So I went to Thailand with my friend, and there I was with my massive rucksack. And whatever, got to the hostel, and we were like, brilliant, we're here, let's get on a motorbike. So we were going to just get, we just jump on the back of a motorbike. Didn't even bat an eyelid. And then when the guys came through, they just kind of looked at me, shook their head, and were like, no, basically not her. So then motorbike after motorbike after motorbike just drove past me and kind of like pointed at my white friends and were like, we'll take you, but not her. And my white friends started getting really annoyed because obviously we were getting later and later on in the day. And they're like, why can't she get on the motorbike? What is the problem? And they were like, they just started like rubbing the skin colour as if to say, I'm too dark. And in the end, the only way I could get on a motorbike was if one of my white friends sat in between me and the driver and me on the back. And that's how we managed to get there in the end. That's the first, and ever since then, I have always Googled, but what is Thailand like for Black people? What is getting on a motorbike like for Black people? Because it's not the same.
You just reminded me what happened to us in Glasgow. Do you remember? We were on a night out in Glasgow, Gams, me and Tiana, after a work trip. And we kept trying, it was shitting it down with rain, and we were desperate to get a cab back to the hotel, right? And we were standing around, putting our arm out, trying to get a Black cab. And they just kept going past us, even though they weren't vacant, right? They just never stopped. And it literally, we were so drunk, we were like, why will no one pick us up in this like dodgy area of Glasgow? And in the end, a person that we were with that was white passing had to get down the cab, didn't they?
We pushed her to the front and we were like, yeah, you're gonna have to get it.
We were like, you get it, and when they stop, we'll jump in the back.
And we actually had to hide, and then once it had stopped, yeah.
It worked, though.
That was only the other day.
Yeah, I know.
And in Glasgow. So what is Glasgow like for Black people?
I know.
It's so funny because you'll say stuff like this, but people will be like, well, my Black friend went backpacking, or my Black friend went to, like, I mean, I've been to Scotland, or my Black friend has done this. And we're not saying that we don't travel. We're just saying when we do, we just already know what to expect. Like, an example, I love the countryside. You'll know I like putting on that tweed and living my best fake middle class life. I remember my best friend and found her dream house in a well-known area in the Cotswolds. A very well-known area in the Cotswolds, because it's not too far from where Prince Charles lives. And I remember we basically drove to the town so I could get a sense of what it was like. So I love those little country villages. And then so she wanted to show me the house. And I've got this thing of wanting to play the lottery when I'm not in London, because I'm like, oh, I might win, because that's what you always hear. So-and-so from Swansea. So I go into this shop. As I'm going into the shop, two guys are leaving the shop, and I don't ever want to assume anyone's ethnicity or race. So, but to me, physically, they looked like they were of East Asian descent. So as they walk out, I walk in, and without even blinking or even taking a breath, the shop gatekeeper goes to me, and for the reference, she's a white lady. Oh, there's loads of foreign looking people around today. What are you here for? And I wasn't even shocked. Looking back at it, there's so much more I would have liked to have said to her, but I was just like, but then I would be the clearly that black girl who's in this little village who went into the corner shop and started trouble. But that's just an example of what it's like kind of stepping outside of our little black bubble wherever we live. And you know, people might be listening to this and like, oh my god, you should have said something, you should have said something. But it's not the first time.
Yeah,
it's not the first time.
What we were saying about being desensitized to it, you know,
2020 has put the casual trivialization of black lives on the global stage. The BLM 2020 movement is, I mean, hands down, one of the biggest social movements of my generation. Like, millions of people took to the streets for weeks on end for the most basic of human rights, you know, simply to feel safe as a black person in this world. And I know it's a long road ahead, but fuck me, it's time to dismantle the systematic racism and injustices that plague this world. The racism that's so deeply embedded in our laws, in our daily practices, into institutions that you think should be protecting you, into institutions that you think should be saving you, into institutions that should be there to support you at your lowest. But it's not enough to say I'm not racist anymore. You need to be anti-racist. You need to speak up when you see something that is wrong. And to the Tommy Robinsons of the world, the Katie Hopkins, the Nigel Farages, and sometimes Piers Morgan, we ain't going anywhere. So suck it up. For those truly wanting to be allies, I know the go-to is to ask your black friends questions, but we're tired. Like, we are just tired.
So, as they say in telly, that's a wrap. But thank you for tuning in to our first episode, guys. We've really enjoyed having you along. We're hoping that you kind of took away some food for thought. And if you have any questions or want to discuss anything, you can have a chat with us. Feel free to slide into our DMs on our Insta page, which is In Our Black Opinion podcast. And yeah, we can have a chit chat.